The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome back to another teaching from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith evangelical church in Sacramento, California. I'm Pastor Chris, the pastor, and on this particular Sunday, we're in the middle of Lent, by the way. Pastor Rick Ashy, who is our pastor for intergenerational discipleship, brought a sermon that he titled, You Are Called to Let Go. Now, during Lent, and actually starting shortly after the Christmas season, we began talking about calling at our church. So Pastor Rick wants to ask us, where do you find your confidence and what makes you feel valuable? What do you count on? Join Pastor Rick as he looks at Philippians 3 and talks about the power of a forgetting faith. The Lord be with you. Now, here's Pastor Rick.
This morning as we get started, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. I've already seen some of that here this morning. And so if you want to turn there, if you got a Bible, I'll be using New Living Translation. And if you have an app, you can jump in there and find that. If you don't, you can go to, the one I usually go to is BibleGateway.com through the internet. And then they've got like every translation, you can pick it. And then you can just kind of look that way if you want as well. Let's pray together and then let's get after it this morning. Father, we bless you and we look forward again, Lord, to what you are going to teach us. Father, we pray that you would prepare our hearts and our minds to receive your word and then to experience your goodness at your table this morning and to do the work that is necessary or at least begin the work this morning that you want to see carried out in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, we are looking at some familiar passages. This Philippians chapter 3, Philippians was growing up was one of my favorite books in the New Testament. It's got a very positive feel to it. And it's interesting because as I was looking and preparing this week, I realized, you know, there are sort of preconceived assumptions that I have made most of my life as I read these very familiar verses. Things that I'm making assumptions about what it is that Paul is leading us to or suggesting or teaching us to do. So I want to get into this morning, and I hope that we're challenged together. We're moving through this time of Lent, and we've been focusing on this idea of calling. And we've been talking about the idea that God is calling us to himself, that there are these counter callings in our life that come from the evil one and the world around us that would try to get us away from, that began all the way back in the garden, the original and best plan that God has for us to try to distract us from, that we've talked about, the idea that we are called back, the prodigal son, the idea that, gosh, what else have we been talking? We've talked about so many different angles. It's been really fun. And this morning, I want us to think about the idea that you and I are called to let go. So listen to these verses as we get started here. Philippians 3, verse 13. Super famous. Most of us are familiar with this one if we've spent any time in the New Testament. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on. Now, for me, I imprinted onto this the idea of letting go of the negative. Forgetting what is behind and pressing, moving forward, getting rid of the junk, the bad stuff, the negative stuff, the mental, the emotional, the physical, the spiritual baggage in our lives that slows us down. Remember 2 weeks ago, I talked about the rocks in our backpack idea, that it's just dead weight, the negative things, and that we're called to get rid of, unload those things from our lives. And that is true. But it's not what Paul's talking about this morning. See, we are called to let go of the negative things, absolutely. That is a part of the process of working out our baptisms on a daily basis. But, Scripture teaches us that we're also called to let go of the positive. I want to unpack this with you guys, because that sounds super weird, I'm sure, right now. Isaiah, actually, let me before I get there, you guys were talking about the momentum as we were reading the text. And there's this idea in like action movies, you know, there's the moment where somebody like falls off the cliff or something and they're barely hanging on and the other person's up above them and like, take my hand. And then they're holding on and they're like, I can't reach you. And they're like, trust me, you've got to let go. And they're like, but I'll fall. And then there's this super intense like zoom in moment where like the music cuts out and all the noise cuts out. And it's like, I'm not going to let that happen. See, here's the thing, is that that person hanging on for dear, that's a good place for them, because if they let go, they're going to fall, right? I mean, they're in it. There's a place of safety. There's a place of security in that moment. But what's interesting is that Jesus is calling us at times in our lives to let go of those good and safe places and to trust him and to reach further up. Isaiah chapter 43, don't turn there, but we actually took a look at the second half of this this morning. But Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19, it says, forgetting the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. I am doing something new. Another very famous text. But here's the context. What he's talking about forgetting is the Exodus. If you go back and you look, it's this beautifully inverted painting, if you will, that Isaiah is speaking to the people as God's mouthpiece. And what he's literally saying is, remember that there was dry land through the waters. And then he says, forget that. I'm doing something new. This is what God is telling the people. And then he says, now there's going to be waters through the dry land. Okay, here's a question for you. Are the Israelites supposed to reject their history, forget, jettison, completely disregard this grand Exodus story that is so formational to the Hebrew culture? Is that what God's calling them to do? Because it says right here, you got to forget that. I'm doing something new. So if you follow this in literally, then the Torah, which has the Exodus in it, is not, that's not good. The fact that the Hebrew people remember these things in their past, well, that's not good. It's like, so Rick, what? So what is the Bible contradicting itself here? No. It's, well, are you contradicting the Bible here? It's like, I don't think so. When we look at this text this morning in Philippians, what we're gonna see is this, there's a movement, past, present, and future. And there's a calling to let go, specifically of the good things. And there's a purpose behind it. And it's really interesting, and it's really I hope that we can make sense of this together this morning. So if you have Philippians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 4, and we're going to work our way through, and we're going to take a look at these different components, past, present, and future, that Paul is sharing with us. And he's trying to frame up this idea of what forgetting, of what letting go actually means. Because it doesn't necessarily, in this context, mean what I think some of us believe it means. So, let's get started. Though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, indeed, if others have reason to be confident in their own efforts, I have even more. So this is where he starts, right out of the gates. He says, I've got more confidence than anybody else. So he's framing this up. Verse 5. Now he talks about his past. He shares his story. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. That's a big deal. A real Hebrew. If there ever was one, I was a member of the Pharisees, who demanded strict obedience to the Jewish law. I was also so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. And so he is sharing here, hey, you wanna have confidence in a life well lived as a Hebrew? Here's my resume. I'm a pure blood, no outside lineage, incursion from Gentile peoples. I'm a member of the Pharisees. I'm a member. I'm in. These were the rock stars. Pharisees were the rock stars of the time. Everybody looked up to the Pharisees. Everybody was in awe of these guys. They were well-educated. They were savvy business people. They were zealous. And the level of fervor that they had for obeying the law was so deep that Paul is probably not sinning here when he literally says, as far as obeying the law, faultless. That was their claim to fame. Everybody wanted to be like the Pharisees because the Pharisees had it on lockdown. They just did Jew-ness right. They just had it. They had it figured out. And everybody was like, they looked up to them. They were the teachers, the leaders. They were the rock stars of that time. Verse 7. Now, here's a turn. I once thought that these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless. Now catch this. This is super important if you want to follow Paul's logic. Everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. The direct translation from the original text is poop, because this is the only time you can say that in church, apparently. No, I'm good. But I mean, it's garbage, refuse, there's rubbish, it's poop. It's just like, there's no value any longer to this, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Now listen to this. I no longer count on my own righteousness. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Let me ask you guys a couple of questions. I want to unpack this just quickly because we on this side are very quick to judge, and I want to put a context around this. What in your life builds your confidence? What in your life, if you're honest with yourself, makes you feel valuable? What in your life do you count on? Those are three phrases that Paul uses to talk about his past. Confidence, value, and that which he counts on. I do not believe that Paul is saying here that we are called to jettison our past life, the previousness. Because then if you were to just excise that, cut that out of your memory, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense historically. Within the context of the Hebrews, and we even talked about, now I remember what the other one, we're called to remember, right? We're called to remember, and now we're being called to forget. And how do we do those two things? Here's what I think Paul is getting after, because this whole idea of like, I don't count any, this is all garbage and rubbish and all of that kind of stuff. I think you and I know what he's getting after. It's a little hyperbolic, but it's also not a little hyperbolic, because the idea is, in relation to the reality of what Jesus has done now, this doesn't have any value any longer for me. In that context, as he's talking, not that he rejects his Jewishness, not that he rejects the things that the Lord has done and the way that his upbringing and all of those kinds of things. It's a matter of gravity. It's a matter of perspective. What I think that Paul is encouraging the Philippians, and by extension us, to do is say that don't allow things in our lives to have too much weight and gravity that they pull us away from the foundational faith in Christ Jesus. Not that we'd completely kick things to the curb. You don't kick your family lineage to the curb. You don't kick your education to the curb. You don't kick that's not what he's saying here, but he's saying in relationship, in the reality of faith in Christ, if this has too much weight, it's going to carry too much gravity, it's going to pull us away from Christ over here. And we'll get stuck. we'll be hanging on that ledge and we won't let go of that thing and we won't reach up to where Jesus is calling us to go. He wants us to trust him to pull us up to that next level. We are called to let go of all the substitutes that are out there for faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that being a successful business person is bad. It doesn't mean that doing your best to raise your family is bad. It just simply means that those things can't be the gravitational pull that we find our value, that we find our confidence, that we find our security in. It's Christ alone. So that's the past. Now let's look at what Paul's talking about in the present. He says in verse 10, I want to, and he uses two words here, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Knowing plus experience plus time, and what he's using, the word here is suffering. Knowledge plus experience plus suffering equals wisdom. It's just a mathematical equation that God built into the universe for us. Knowing, knowledge, and experiencing, living that out, and putting time to those two things. And that time includes suffering. That time includes, who was saying something about, there was like a resistance earlier. We were talking about action. The idea of you can't get stronger unless you resist against something. That's why we go to the gym and we lift weights. And I'm like, oh, look at me, I'm doing something. No, it's literally that what your body does is you go, oh, I'm putting pressure. I'm putting suffering, a load against the body system. Therefore, the body system only has two options. Fail or get stronger. That's it. And so this idea of suffering that he's talking about is the process of just the life that we live and the load-bearing that we do in order to become stronger. And that strength then is taken within the idea of the knowing, the knowledge of Christ, and the experiencing through the power of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And then that strength is harnessed, and that strength is useful and purposeful. There's a great quote I heard. If you guys are familiar with the Benham brothers, they wrote a book here recently called Expert Ownership. Fantastic believers. Here's what one of the brothers said. More is accomplished in the pain cave of your life than the comfort zone. Anybody in the pain cave? More is accomplished in the pain cave of your life than the comfort zone. It's just a part of the process of how God designed us. Suffering is not failure. Suffering, exerting and pushing back against the pressures, the external pressures that are being pushed on us, suffering equals refinement. It equals an unburdening. It equals becoming more like Christ. And so Paul is embracing in the here and now, this idea that suffering is an important part of knowing and experiencing and being prepared for the resurrection, participation with Jesus Christ. So we talked about the past, we talked about the present. Now let's talk about the future for a minute. So Paul says in verse 21, I'm sorry, not 21, 12. He says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. So here's humility of a guy who was a rock star in that world, right? We live in a culture now where you're not allowed to say, like, I'm not perfect. You're not allowed to apologize. You know, these are bad things. And he's just saying, look, I'm not there yet. I haven't got there. I'm on the road. He's encouraging the Philippians. But, and here's the one, here's this what we talked about or we read earlier, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. I love that. Your possession of the Lord. Like valuable, like he wraps his arms around you with love. He says, verse 13, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. You ready? Forgetting my past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling each and every one of us. Let me ask you another question real quick. Do you want to know and experience Christ in your life? Paul gives us another mathematical equation. He kind of lines this out. If you want to know and experience Jesus more deeply in your life starting today, here we go. Forgetting my past, the good and the bad, the security, the baggage, the things that are weights that have too much gravity that are dragging us away from the Lord. So the question here is, what am I called to let go of? In order to know and experience Christ more, there are things. We always like to let go of the bad things because that feels good. But guys, there may be some good things that you and I have been holding on to that give us some sort of value or identity or worth that is overshadowing the insurmountable riches and grace and gloriousness of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. So the question is, what am I called to let go of? And then he says, after forgetting my past, remember, it's not just kicking it to the curb. He's saying, I just don't want those things to over-influence, overshadow Christ in my life. Then he says, focusing on his, big H, God's future, looking forward. So here's the question, what or who or where am I being called to be? It's really bad English, I apologize. But where is God leading me? If he's asking me to let go, there's got to be a purpose. If he's asking me to give something up that right now I feel gives me comfort and value, that means there's something better. So where is the Lord calling you to go or to be or become? And then the third thing he says here is this idea of forging my faith in him, pressing on. He says, I press on. The running metaphor, the suffering metaphor. I just put, no matter how hard it gets, I just keep putting one foot in front of the other. I just keep going. And you just empty the gas tank. That's what we're called to do. Is just empty the gas tank and trust and depend in him and where he's calling us to go. But this idea of I'm forging my faith in him. Verse 9 says, I become righteous through faith in Christ. And then I just wrote here, do the hard work of the first two, forgetting and focusing. That's what we're called to do, this hard work of forgetting the things that are holding us back, good or bad, and the focusing. Lord, where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to become? Isn't that Lenten spirituality? Isn't that interesting? Isn't Lenten spirituality this idea that we give something up in order to make space in our lives? And oftentimes, you and I, during Lent, we go, well, what's the thing that I could give up that's not really good for me, like chocolate or coffee or internet, or social media or something? And again, I'm not making light of any of that stuff because actually that's all really, really good, those negative components. But he's also calling us to consider things that we have considered positive in our life that maybe are holding us back. It's Lenten spirituality. And I love this. This is where he concludes. He pulls this whole thing together in verse 15. This is a pastor's heart to his people. He says, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things that we've just talked about. If you disagree on some point, it's okay. I believe God will make it plain to you. He's like, you need a little bit more time. It's okay. He'll show you. And then listen to this. Verse 16. But we must hold on to the progress that we've already made. So he says, as we're processing through, as we're letting go to grab hold of, to press on, as we're doing this suffering, which is a refinement and a moving closer towards the Lord, he's like, don't forget the progress. Don't get discouraged. Maybe you've felt like it's been this much progress recently. It's like, that's okay. Don't forget that. Maybe it's been a lot of progress lately. Great. Just don't forget that, especially when times get difficult. Trust the Lord to show you where you need to let go and remind yourself and others of the progress in Christ that you've already made. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your absolute generosity and gloriousness towards us. Thank you for the life that you are calling us to. Thank you for the outstretched hand desiring for us to let go of the things that are holding us down or holding us back. Lord, the confidence that we have in this physical life as we suffer and move forward, and ultimately the hope we have of you and eternity and resurrection. Lord, I pray that each one of us this week would consider and wrestle with this idea of things that as we move through Lent and we get ever closer towards Resurrection Sunday, I pray that you would just open our eyes maybe to something that's got too much gravity in our life, even a good thing that maybe we need to let go of or let go its influence over our lives. Give us that strength through the power of your Holy Spirit to trust you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future Faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.